So I'm super excited to talk with you this morning about work as worship. Those two things actually really can go together. That our work truly can be worship. And so I want to begin this morning by asking you to complete a sentence. If you picked up a bulletin, inside is an insert that you can take some notes on some things that we're going to talk about this morning. But one of the first things on the top of that bulletin is a place for you to just fill in this blank. My work is. What's the first thing that comes to mind? What is the very first thing that when you saw that sentence that you thought, boom, that was it? Not overthinking it, not over-reflecting on it, but what's the first thing that came to your mind? Is your work awesome or is it awful? Is it easy or is it excruciating? Is it delightful or maybe it's despicable? Do you love it or do you loathe it? Can you not wait to get started in the morning or can you not wait to get done in the afternoon? Does it build you up or does it break you down? Is your work collaborative or is it confrontational? Is your work collegial or is it cutthroat? Do you have a positive work environment or would you describe it as pathetic? Do you have a wonderful place to work or is it really best described as being wicked? Do you love it or do you hate it? Does it build you up or does it tear you down? However you describe your work, imagine this. What if your work could be more? Really? What if your work could be more? As a matter of fact, what if, we're playing what if right now, what if your work could be a worshipful experience? Now, I know that some of you are probably sitting there going, George, you have no idea what I do. George, you have no idea how bad it is. Well, let me just give you a little insight into my prior work environment. Before I went into ministry, I was in retail. Cutthroat, confrontational, horrible work environment. I even had a boss, in full disclosure right now, I even had a boss who I referred to her as my own personal antichrist. So I know bad. I know difficult work environments. I wish that somebody had talked to me about how to make work worshipful many years ago. Because it would have changed my perspective on what I did. Now that perspective ultimately got changed when I responded to my call to ministry. And I began to see because there was a time, there was a crossover in between still being employed where I was and starting seminary. And I will tell you, the shift that I made in my attitude, the changes I made in how I related to people, literally changed my work environment. So much so that about the time it was ready for me to leave, my boss literally begged me to stay. Well, in my flesh, I was like, you gotta be kidding. Like, seriously? You have made my work such a horrible place. I actually told her this. I said, you made my work so horrible that it gave God the opportunity to talk to me. You can imagine she wasn't delighted at that expression. And I'm not really so delighted that I said that. Because it wasn't actually a very good witness. And so God's done a lot of work on me in these many years in ministry. And again, in full disclosure, he's got a lot of work still yet to do. Can you say amen? You're not supposed to say amen at that. Thank you so much. So think about this. Again, what if your work could truly be a worshipful experience? Now, throughout the Bible, we see the word worship defined as the act of magnifying God. That really is what worship is. It's magnifying God. Some other words that we might use, it is glorifying God. It is exalting God. It is honoring God. It is giving God credit for seeing God for who he is and what he's done. And so what if you saw your work? I read this book that said that one of the title of this book is Your Attitude is Your Choice. What if you saw your work as an opportunity to worship and to witness to the goodness and glory of God, regardless of your work situation? So whether you're a doctor or a director, a nurse or a laborer, in sales or service, an educator or an administrator, a contractor or technician or engineer or artist or labor, whatever it is, what if you saw your work, what you do in the majority of your available time, what if you saw that as an opportunity to partner with God to literally change the lives of the people around you by helping to usher in the kingdom of God in your workplace? Would it be different? Sure it would. You see, that, my friends, is what work as worship is. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So to set the stage, we need to see what the Bible has to say about work. And to do that, we're going to go clear back to the beginning. We're going to go clear back to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, to see what God has to say about work. So this is kind of a good news, bad news, good news kind of thing. Because we're going to see that the Bible does have a lot to say about work, because we were actually created having to work. But at the beginning, it wasn't supposed to be difficult. It wasn't supposed to be toilsome and troublesome. But then something happened, so that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk then about how do we make work a worshipful atmosphere. So hopefully that will give you something to take with you today when you show up at work tomorrow saying, okay, my attitude is my choice. How might I make my work worship? So let's jump into Genesis. We're going to look in the very first book. So if you have your Bibles, we'd encourage you to open them up as we look at, first of all, Genesis 1. So in the opening verses, we see God at work creating the heavens and the earth. He is doing so in what we refer to as ex nihilo, out of nothing. God literally says, sky, planets, grass, trees. He speaks things into existence. And after he sets the stage for human existence, after he makes everything just right, perfect, actually, for the pinnacle of his creation, that's us, we read these words in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then, again, this is after God has done all this amazing creative work, he said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. By the way, the very first indication, one of the first indications we see that God is Trinity. But that's another day. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. And then in Genesis 2:15, it says that the Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. So what do we see initially? Reign, tend, watch over it. What do we call that? Work. Can you say work? Work. I just want to make sure you are all awake. And so it was good. It was beautiful. It was perfect, the Bible describes it. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They have everything they need. They get to walk and talk with God. Everything is provided for them. There's nothing bad. There were probably mosquitoes, but they didn't bite you. There were other animals, but they played with them. And it was this perfect place, but then something happened. Sin enters the picture. And when sin entered the picture through Adam and Eve, we see the results of what happened in the entire cosmological order. The fall or sin wasn't just about what it did to our relationship with God, but sin affected our relationship with one another, and it affected our relationship with the entire created order. And so we're going to pick up and hear the story of what happens when sin enters the picture. So we're going to look at Genesis 3, 1 through 7, and then 17 through 19. So we pick up the story in 17:1-3:1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit in the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Well, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return." We didn't sweat before the fall. There weren't thorns and thistles before the fall. We didn't feel naked and ashamed before the fall. All that we could spend lots of time talking about. But what we're going to talk about today is the connection between work and worship. And so the first thing I want you to notice from this text is that originally work was a blessing. It was a blessing. It was something Adam and Eve got to do. It was something that they enjoyed to do. Because the text tells us that we were created to create. Be fruitful and multiply. That's fun, isn't it? We got to create. We got to be co-creators with God. He placed us in the garden. He said, it's all good. Now be creative. And it wasn't going to involve work. That was difficult. And we were commanded to cultivate, right? We were placed in the garden to tend it, to take care of it, to be there for the fish and the animals that scurried along the ground. It was just supposed to be good. We were supposed to tend it and take care of it. And there wasn't any problem. So from the very beginning, God worked. He called us to work, but it wasn't supposed to be tough. It wasn't supposed to be toilsome. We weren't supposed to sweat. We weren't supposed to be cut by thorns and thistles. And yet, the nature of work changed with the fall. When Adam and Eve decided to rebel against God, when they were lured by the serpent to do what God told them not to do. This is one of the grand truths of Scripture, is that the entire cosmological order, everything was affected. Everything was affected. The nature of work changed with the fall. You saw it, right? The ground is cursed because of you. All your life, you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you. By the sweat of your brow, you will make a living. And so the entire created order was affected. The ground was cursed because of sin. And work now becomes a compulsory act of survival. Work becomes this compulsory act of survival that the man and woman had to do in order to survive. It wasn't just that they could walk through the garden and go, ah, fruits, perfect. Ah, grains, perfect. Now they had to work. And so our work life got all messed up because of the fall. So we know we got a problem, right? We know the entire cosmological order is affected by the fall. We know that work is now difficult. The ground is cursed. We could put that into a modern phrase now and say like work life in the office is really tough. And so what do we do with that? What does Scripture paint the picture for us that we are supposed to do with that? How is our attitude about work supposed to be reflective of who we are as believers in Jesus? Because here's the deal. As believers in Jesus, if we profess to love Jesus, to follow Jesus, to say, I'm a Christian, we should be different. We really should. I was talking with one of our guys just a little while ago. And I said, you know, the reality is, as believers in Jesus, we should be different. We shouldn't be like the rest of the world. We should be setting a different kind of an example for the world, pointing to our Savior. And that's the attitude adjustment that we can have, that our work can truly be a worshipful experience that will witness to who God is and what He has done in our lives. So how do we do that? I think there are lots and lots and lots of biblical principles about how we can do that. And I want to highlight for you just three of them this morning about how our worshipful work can make a difference in our lives. And so number three in your notes, if you're following along, is the idea of this. Worshipful work should be done with excellence. Believers should not be slackers. Believers should not try to do just the minimum. Believers in Jesus should not try to do C work. Believers in Jesus should be the excellent workers. It doesn't mean we're the best, but it means our effort is reflective of the fact that we love a God who loves us so much that while we are called to be excellent in our work. Because why? Excellence honors God. And so we are called as believers in Jesus to work with excellence. Ephesians 6:7 summarizes it this way. Work with enthusiasm. Get this. This will change how you work. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Okay, if you're a believer in Jesus, let's get this one really clear. You actually do. Your primary employer as a believer in Jesus is Jesus. Who you work for now is actually your secondary employer. And so as followers of Jesus, we should be the best lineman or woman. We should be the best nurse that we can be. We should be the best worker that we can be. We should honor God with our excellence. If we're asked to do a project, we should set the bar high, not set it low. We're already trying to instill that into our kids. you know, kids, right? It's like we get the assignments every day and they have all these projects. And one of the things I was sharing with our daughter this last week, and actually the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that, is that we're helping you with your homework for two reasons. Number one, because we love you. And number two, we want you to be successful. We want you to be successful. That means we're going to go over your homework with you, even though you're going, I did it. Or even though you're fighting me. I'm like, no, we're going to go over it. Because right now I'm talking that we want you to be successful as we continue to grow and as our kids continue to mature. We're going to be sliding that into the place of saying, and we want you to be successful because God wants us to be excellent in what we do. Because our excellence honors God. And so we, as the people of God, we should be working as though we're working for the Lord. Now, that will help you. Because if you're working for your own personal antichrist, like I was, like if you begin to see your work as, no, she's a consequence of the fall. I'm working for the Lord. It will change how you work. And I can't tell you how many people I have talked to over the years in ministry, even in this church, right? That I've said, okay, let's look at your perspective for your work. Because how you see your work, how you see what you do, and how you see your productivity, how you see your boss will affect your witness. It will. And so worshipful work, work that seeks to magnify and honor God, should be done with excellence because we're really working for the Lord and we want to honor him, don't we? So the first thing that we can do is to recognize our worshipful work should be done with excellence. We might not be the best, but our employers should say they give it their all. They give their best effort. One of the phrases that I use a lot is we do the best we can with what we got to the glory of God, right? The best we, teachers, don't you? You just want them to do the best they can, right, with what they got. So that's the first thing about work. A second observation is that worshipful work should embody the highest ethic. The highest ethic. In other words, what we believe is right or wrong. What we believe is true or untrue. Other words might be integrity, honesty. That's what it's saying here, is that our work should embody the highest ethic. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, work hard. Now, you should work hard just because you should work hard. But look at the connection. Work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval by be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Again, like words like integrity and honesty should be in there. Is that we should be the people who our employers would be like, man, I trust Todd. Because Todd is a trustworthy guy. I trust you because I know Troy, you're the best worker. I trust you because you have a high ethic. You have integrity. Something, quite honestly, I think is seriously lacking in our country right now. That we should be people who embody the highest ethic. Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. That's an echo of what we read just a minute ago, right? That means that in the body of Christ as believers in Jesus, we should not be skimping. We should not be lazy. We should be fair. We should be honest. We should be people of integrity. And this highest ethic can be at what sometimes seems like the most sublime or the most, it doesn't seem to be a big deal. Like, just for instance, studies are telling us that, like, people are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever you want to call it, like 3 and 4 hours a day. Now, you don't have time at night to do that all. That means you might be doing some where you shouldn't be doing some. Or what about like office supplies? I have to tell you a funny story. So we were doing a Bible study many, 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 many years ago, and it was one of the home Bible studies. It's kind of a fun thing because I went to this one house, and we're doing a Bible study, and I knew our pens. Now, we give our pens out, so just take this as a relative. It's kind of fun. But our pens, and I walked into this person's kitchen like, why, you have like 50 pens, and they're ours. No, it's just funny because we give them away, so don't take that too seriously. But just like in your own work environment kind of things, like office supplies, you know, things that we just do that actually add up a lot. Now, some of those they intend actually for you to give away. That's why they put their names on the pen so you can give them away and, you know, talk about your company kind of deal. But it's just looking at, are we employing the highest work ethic that we possibly can? Does our employer look at us and say, man, there is something about Bertha that's different? Is there something about Mike that's just different? Because his ethic is different. It's a high level of integrity. I know they're going to tell me the truth. I know that when I get the bill for the work that Tim did on my house, like, he didn't pad anything. It's exactly what he said it's going to cost. So as people, if we see our work as worship, then we will embody the highest work ethic. And so the next one, and kind of the last one, is this idea that our work is to be worship and witness. Now, we hold those two things in tandem because our work should be worship. In other words, we should be magnifying God in what we do because it's also witness. Because whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, people are watching us. And as believers in Jesus, especially if we're out, like people really know and you're not the super secret Christian, if people really know you're a follower of Jesus, that witnesses either for Christ or against Christ. That's why Paul says in Colossians, and whatever you do or say, okay, that just really encompasses everything, isn't it? There's like nothing else that can be added to that, is there? Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. Okay, so in full disclosure, let's be honest, right? Do we not all fall kind of pretty far short of that one? But what would our work look like? What would our work really look like if whatever we did or said, we did it or said it as a representative of Jesus? What might our work environments be like? I think first, it would point people to Jesus. Our primary responsibility as followers of Jesus is to point others to Jesus. That's why our mission from day one was to make more and stronger disciples of Jesus. We got to be followers of Jesus so we can point people to Jesus, so that they might know our Jesus, so that they might know the hope that we have as followers of Jesus. And so when our work is both worship and witness, it will point people to Jesus, and it will have blessings that will reverb. You know what reverb means, right? It's like the ripple effect. It just kind of keeps going. The blessings will reverb. They will reverb for our colleagues because our work environment will be different. I believe that they will reverb through our businesses because I think God honors that. I think it will reverb for our employers because they will be better companies. Because when you employ a high degree of excellence and ethic, isn't it a better workplace? Doesn't it seem to fit that in the long term, now in the short term, again, sin enters the picture, but in the long term, doesn't excellence and ethic, don't we really see that paying off in our work? And so our work should be this idea of worship and witness, where we are pointing people to Jesus and where we are seeing its blessings in our work environment, in our employers, in our colleagues, in all those places. And so I want to come right back to where we started. What if your work could be more than just work? What if you saw your work as a worshipful experience? See, if worship is the act of magnifying God, if we truly magnify God every day in our words and in our witness, in our work, here's the bottom line. This is what I think would happen. Our worshipful work would change our world. Our worshipful work has the capacity to change the world. Because if we point people to Jesus, and if coming to follow Jesus reverbs all throughout our organizations, our institutions, our businesses, it won't just change them. It will change our world. And we have been called by God. As believers in Jesus, we have been called to be world changers. Not just here, but we have been called to be world changers. And so I'm going to put a big plug in. On February 23rd, we are going to be a live simulcast site for a brand new one-day retreat done by Right Now Media called Work as Worship. Some of the most amazing and gifted business leaders, educators, and pastors and theologians are going to talk more about this, about how do we incorporate work into our worship. And if we do that, how will our world be changed? So we want to give you a little taste of what that looks like. So we're going to show a video to show you what our Work as Worship retreat is going to be like coming up on February 23rd.
Work. Most of us spend over half our lives at work. Whatever it is you fill the 9-to-5 with, planting crops, building cars, taking care of patients, teaching students, or running a business. Work is where most of life happens. For some, work is a drain. They dread Monday mornings, forcing themselves to struggle through because they need the paycheck, while many times feeling trapped and beaten down by their job. Some people love their work. They're good at what they do. It energizes them. It's a place of security, a place to chase dreams, desires, and success. At work, they find fulfillment. We often forget to connect our faith to our work. We don't consider the reasons God may have us at our job. We don't think about the purpose and meaning we could bring to our work. We simply focus on how it makes us feel. But what if we saw our work as an opportunity to worship? As Christians, we are called to serve Christ with our lives. For a few, that means working as a pastor, a youth minister, or a missionary. Others serve the church by teaching children or singing in the choir. But when Sunday is over, most of us return to our jobs outside the church. For us, our mission is in the marketplace. We may not be the kind of missionary who moves to the far regions of Africa, but around the conference table, around the water cooler, or around the cubicle, we have an opportunity to worship the God who created us. He gave us skill. He gave us passion. He gave us work. When we do our jobs with excellence and integrity and diligence, it's an act of worship. We are displaying God's craftsmanship to the non-believing world around us. We are earning the right to be heard. We don't see a divide between Sunday and Monday, between the sacred and the secular. We've been invited into parts of the world that a pastor or traditional missionary will never see. We have conversations with people who would never set foot in a church. Whether we love or dread our work, we choose to turn the focus away from ourselves and towards the mission God has for us. Church is not the only place we worship, and Sundays are not the only days on our calendars that have meaning. Every day on mission for God brings us great joy. Like the heroes before us, we can be modern-day Noahs and Josephs and Peters who are called with a purpose. God has designed us. He created us to work and to worship. For us, work is worship. On February 23rd, 2018, over 2,000 churches across the country are hosting the first ever Work as Worship retreat. please join us and other business leaders from your church and community. Speakers will include Patrick Lencioni, Matt Chandler, Joel Manby, Phil Fisher, and many more. Tickets are only $25 at www.workasworshipretreat.org. We'll see you there.
So here's my hope, is that we'd see you here, so that together we might be better equipped and encouraged to see our work as worship, to see that where God has us, he can use us, to see where we're planted, we can be productive. Where we're working, we can witness to the glory of God. Why? So that our world would be changed. And our world is changed one person at a time. And God is so chosen to use us as to be his ambassadors, Scripture says, as his workers, to go out and do that. And so I want to encourage you, inside your bulletin, there is a handout in there that tells us about the work as worship. Some of the speakers' names are on there. You see that, like, there's some top-notch like leaders in business and industry. And I want to encourage you to sign up for the work as worship retreat. Bring your organizations, bring the people that you work with, and come together as together we talk about how do we work as worship to literally change our workplace. Again, remember, our attitude is always our choice. And so how are we sharing the attitude of Christ so that in whatever we do or say, we will be agents of change right where we are? As the video said, God has not called us all to go around the planet to someplace way foreign. But what he does call us to do is to be faithful where we're planted, to let your work be worship.